97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This is the Annie Fry Show.
It is Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk. You know, it's unusual that I get the opportunity to have a guest in the studio. Normally, somebody's on the phone with me. But today, I get to do it twice. We had Brian Westbrook, who was here, who's the executive director and the founder of Coalition Life. Scott Vaughn is in the studio with us. How are you, man?
I'm great. It's so great to be in here with you. It just worked out perfectly on this Columbus Day to get to come in.
I love the fact that you were in town, and it's like, hey, come in. Let's talk. Because I know a lot of times on Annie's show, they do a lot of national politics, and yeah. I appreciate that. And that's kind of the thing that on 97.1, when you're a conservative talk radio station and Donald Trump is the nominee, you're going to talk a lot of federal sure. politics. And I know Josh Hawley is making the rounds around the state right now. I just talked to Sam Saffa's campaign guy before I came down here, and they're going to do a rally in St. Charles on Wednesday. They were just at Cottleville.
I saw Harrison Buckner.
Harrison Buckner was
okay,
there with him.
Right.
Yep. So they were.
He also came from Cottleville down to my neck of the woods in Poplar Bluff.
He did. He's trying to do the F-150 tour on his own.
I love it.
He's
going
to have a Holly bus before long. He'll be following Kehoe around, which we got the chance to start the show.
If you're going
to
follow Kehoe around, you better put some gas in that thing. That dude gets around. Now, man, I like to think I get around. I don't get around half of what Kehoe does.
So he is, he's down in Osage County today. At least he was there around lunch. I shouldn't say today. That's where he was around lunch. So I was watching your show this weekend, and I love the fact that you were checking in with Republican senators mm-hmm. and Democrat folks of seeing, hey, where are these races going to go? And you had some hot Senate races I want to talk a little bit about.
The hottest one's right here.
It really is in Senate 15. But before we get to that, Crystal Quaid's a nice lady.
Mm-hmm. She is.
I just don't see her having a snowball's chance of beating Mike Kehoe.
I'll tell you, Crystal Quaid is an extremely competent person. She's very liberal, so if you're not very liberal, you probably should not vote for her. But Crystal Quaid is the type of person that, as a Republican, I'm going to vote for Mike Kehoe. You see all these other people in the media, they'll tell you all this, oh, I'm this and this. No, I just tell you how the cabbage, you can dislike it. I voted for Kehoe in August. I'm going to vote for Kehoe in November. But I'll tell you this, if Crystal Quaid becomes governor, as a Republican, I will tell you, a person who does not share my political beliefs will be governor. But a competent person will be governor, and she could competently do the job. But yes, nobody could beat Mike Kehoe. He's the bull of the woods. The fact of the matter is, the Democrats should have all voted for a different candidate because Mike Kehoe will win by a landslide. Nobody could beat Mike Kehoe in the state of Missouri, and he will actually be the guy that goes and negotiates, not on Twitter, not on Facebook,
right.
One-on-one. And there's going to be a lot of champagne popping for the huge Republican things that are going to happen because he knows how to actually accomplish stuff.
You know, we were talking about off-air the primary and how Bill Eigel overperformed where people
Absolutely.
Thought he was. I mean, I remember when he was polling at 2, 3, 4%, mm-hmm. and Ashcroft was beating Kehoe by 20. And we're like, man, this race is all but over, right? Ashcroft's going to win this thing. Mike Kehoe drove the wheels off the bus, literally, going all around the state. But so did Bill Eigel. And Bill Eigel went from that 2, 3, 4 up to 33 and had a great showing. But I think when it came down to it, Kehoe is—he just has the it factor.
He does,
and when he is with a crowd, and I don't care if it's—I've been in crowds with him. That's a small room of mm-hmm. folks, and I got a chance to MC an event at Hunter Farms that had 350 people there. And I would tell you, he can fit any room with the message that he has and the way that he comes across. He is genuinely likable.
You know who he reminds me of? And I've been in every type of room with Mike Kehoe. He reminds me of Tony La Russa in the sense that if you did not know baseball, you weren't even a baseball fan. If you walked into a luncheon and Tony La Russa was there, the way he carried himself, the charisma he had, you would know that's a big deal. You might not know who Tony La Russa was, but you would
know he's somebody.
Tony La Russa is a big deal. Mike Kehoe, now that he's governor, everybody will see it, be a big deal. But even when he was a state senator, whatever, when he walks into a room, you know, okay, I don't know what that guy does, but I'll bet he's a big deal.
Right. You get that feeling. I agree. There are some people who walk into a room and you just instantly know, okay, I don't know anything about you, but I can tell you're a powerful person. I just feel it radiate off of you.
And, you know, David Gregory, I do think you have to be a little older to really have that gravitas.
Yeah.
But David Gregory, the Senate candidate out in West County, is the type of guy that has some of that charisma. He's got some of that it factor. It is an interesting thing. St. Louis County has sent this state many great politicians. I don't know. Missouri's favorite son, no question, is Eric Schmidt.
Yep.
He's the most popular public servant in this state, sent to this state by the folks in St. Louis County. I think they have a chance to send another one in David Gregory.
So how do you see that race going? So we're talking about Senate District 15. It's out in West County. Andrew Koenig is the senator there right now. He's terming out. But that is one of the top three hottest races for the Senate going on in the state of Missouri, wouldn't you think?
I'll give you my brag. There's one in Clay County where the Clay Como Ford plant is, leans Democrat. The Republicans have a great candidate in Jerry Nolte. He's the guy that even Democrats vote for because he's just that dude.
The former John Rizzo seat?
That's the Lauren Arthur seat across the river.
Okay.
If it wasn't for Jerry Nolte, that seat would be gone to the Democrats. He's the one Republican that could win it. Then south of the river, the old Ronnie DePasco, Victor Callahan, Rizzo seat, the seat you never thought would be Republican, it looks like it's going to be Republican.
Wow.
If you had to guess, Independence is Republican, Clay County, which used to be Republican, is Democrat, and all of the heat is in St. Louis County, because I'll tell you, on Amendment 3, which is really that's probably the top thing on the ballot in Missouri.
I agree, yep.
The intensity on the pro Amendment 3 side is right here in the St. Louis media market. Kansas City is going to vote for Amendment 3. Outstate Missouri is not. St. Louis is going to vote for it, but it's going to be intense. And that's led the Democrats to put their spending. They have a very good recruit in Joe Peerless, very respected guy. To me, David Gregory, if you want to make a difference in this election, go out to Chesterfield, knock doors for David Gregory. Maybe do a little Amendment 3 while you're out there. But this is the epicenter of politics, is right here, right in St. Louis County, in 15. It will be the one that determines if the Republicans hold or lose a seat. And it's a big deal. They'll lose their supermajority, and they'll lose it right here in St. Louis. But on the flip side, David Gregory is a very talented politician. He looks like $1 million. He's very charismatic. If you want to,
he's good at raising money.
I will tell you this: it's like if you could wind the clock back to 2008. If today you could say, you know what, I'll give a Saturday or I'll give a couple afternoons knocking doors for Eric Schmidt. If you could go back in time and do that in 2008, you probably would have.
Yep.
If you want a similar trajectory, similar quality of politician, take a couple nights or a Saturday and go knock for David Gregory, and 10, 15 years from now, I guarantee you'll be glad you did.
How close do you think this Senate majority is going to be? Do you think they're going to keep the supermajority, or do you think
St. Louis County will tell the tale? I mean,
is it really that close?
Amendment 3 is, let's just be honest, it is a drag on Republicans.
It is.
Republicans have won areas that probably should be Democratic because the Republican Party in the state is so strong, their fundraising is so strong. Pardon me, but I think if you just extrapolate forward, this is the epicenter. And frankly, if the Democrats would have got a stronger candidate in the 23rd, if you look at their voting trends, the 23rd is the city of St. Charles in eastern St. Charles County. It's about three cycles behind the 15th. The 15th, this county is trending more Democrat. And I think the way you're going to be able to tell, will there be anybody still representing St. Louis County, except for obviously Ben Brown and Eureka?
Right.
But this is the last one. And I think if you're a business person, you want a member of the majority party in the state Senate you can go to for things. And the only way to have one, the last ability to have one, is David Gregory out in Chesterfield.
So step back to state for a while. We've already talked about the governor's race, and I agree. I think Kehoe's going to run away with this thing.
Yeah.
Is there going to be any other competition at any other statewide office, or is this going to be a Republican sweep?
Republican sweep. I mean, Andrew Bailey's a bulletproof tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy stood down $15 million of New York money and won every county in the state. Andrew Bailey's a guy you're probably going to be voting for 8 years from now. He is just, do yourself a favor. If you get a chance to go out and meet Andrew Bailey at something, go out and meet a guy that's probably the next governor. Go make it a point to go meet him. Don't let the Post-Dispatch tell you about what he does. Go meet him for yourself. He does come to things.
He does.
And you could meet Andrew Bailey, and you get that picture for the Me With wall. He may not be on your wall yet, but I think he will be. I think the Republicans are having a major sweep. You have Vivek Malik, a St. Louis County guy, right here. I think he'll do very well. I don't think there'll be any problems. David Wassinger is a St. Louis County guy running for lieutenant governor. I don't think there'll be any problems in the fall, but I would encourage everyone, if you want to actually make a difference, more than just complaining on Facebook, get with David Gregory's campaign. That is the fight. That is where the heat and the battle in this state is on Amendment 3 in St. Louis County and the Senate 15 in St. Louis County.
How do you see these amendments going? I mean, you got a lot of them on the ballot.
I think Amendment 7, I almost wish they would have saved that for 2026, simply because that's a turnout thing. It really doesn't change anything, but it's a good to get people fired up and turned out to the polls.
So for folks who don't know Amendment 7.
7's about only citizens voting and then ranked choice voting, some of those things. The Amendment 2 is sports betting. Now, that's an interesting. I don't know how that's going to go. You have the casinos are fighting amongst themselves. Caesars wants a better cut. The other casinos are willing to take what's on the table. So you have two well-funded campaigns. If you've watched a football game Sunday, you saw
a lot of them.
Yeah, you got to see teachers arguing in different commercials of what this is going to do.
Right.
I don't care where they spend the tax revenue, if you want the truth. I'd like to be able to bet on the Chiefs when I want to bet on the Chiefs.
I don't think that where the tax money is going is a determining factor for most people who are going to vote for this.
Most people don't believe it anyway.
Right. I think we've all been down that road with the lottery. Yep. And we all kind of went to that thing and went, okay, this was all going to go to help our schools. And then you had a shell game that happened that we all know. And I don't think people believe that now. So I think, and then you've got the whole thing that depending on how they want to structure it, they could take a loss and there's no money that's there. But I think what's driving people is you have an awful lot of people who want a sports bet in the state of Missouri, especially younger voters. Young men want to vote for this. They want to sports bet.
Here's my frustration, Mike. I hear all these people, and I hear it a lot in your neck of the woods. Yep. They believe in liberty.
You're right.
They believe in freedom. But a lot of those people only believe in liberty and freedom if it's stuff they think you should be doing. Like, I actually think if you want to go bet on the Chiefs, how is it my business what you do?
I'm with you.
It was kind of like to me in pot. I didn't care, but I'm like, I don't know who I am to tell somebody they can't go smoke pot. I actually think you should have a conservative government that doesn't tell you what to do. I think you should be able to bet on the Chiefs because it's your right with a little pittance of money they don't tax. Let you do with what you want.
I think that sports betting is going to pass. I think
it'll be close.
I think Amendment 3 is going to be really close.
I know.
So I was watching your show during the primaries, and you were talking about initiative petition, and you were telling the Republicans, don't you guys think that all this stuff you're trying to load up into this bill, it's a bit of clean Missouri?
It totally is.
Well, I think you're going to have a clean Missouri happen with Amendment 3. So what I mean by that is, I think there's an awful lot of people who just read the headlines, and that's part of the reason why we had Brian Westbrook to talk a little bit more about all the stuff that's in Amendment mm-hmm. 3 that you don't pay attention to. It's a lot more than what the headline is telling you. But I think the pendulum swung far right. I think this one takes it far left. And I think mm-hmm. if it does pass, like you think, I think that a lot of people are going to have buyer's remorse after it passes. And I think they're going to come back just like they did Clean Missouri. It passed because they thought they were voting for one thing. But once it passed, in Nancy Pelosi's favorite language, you know, we have to pass it to find out what's in the bill. So I think once it passes, if it does, people are going to find out that's not where Missouri is. All the transgender stuff, the no restrictions that's in that bill. I think you're going to have people that are going to come back, and they're going to want a second bite of that apple.
I think that is very likely. The thing is, can the pro-life folks ever really get over winning? It has damaged them greatly. I watch these pro-life people fight every day. The only thing the pro-lifers hate more than abortion is other pro-lifers. It is a very divided group.
Kind of sounds like the Republican Party in general.
It kind of does.
It's kind of where we are right now.
Hop in the truck and let's take 50 from here to Jefferson City. You're going to see three different types of yard signs because they can't even get along on a yard sign. I mean, if the pro-life folks can win this fight, as divided as they are, then they're a bulletproof tiger. No one can stop them. I think you're right, and I think the best thing for this state, if this does pass, is for some people to get together soberly and say, okay, we went a little far.
Right.
Now, this is a little far the other way, guys. We're going to come back with something that is, I don't know the details of abortion policy, but that could be a little more moderate and restrict some of the excesses of Amendment 3. I just feel like there's a lot of people who are considering themselves pro-life, that are going to vote for Amendment 3 because they think, okay, this was too much.
I can see that, and I know some of them.
Yeah.
And I've tried to talk to them, like, how do you feel about all the transgender stuff that's in there? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you need to read that. You need to understand what you're really voting for. But I don't know that a ton of people are going to read the details of this.
No one's going to read the details.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised.
Mike, you are an elected official. I'll put you on the spot. Do you go down while you're voting and read through all that stuff? Because I don't. I'm be honest with you. I'm just a simple hillbilly. I do not read all the details.
I have to get into more of them because I'm called to the carpet when you get behind a microphone.
Okay, that's a good point.
So you have to be pretty informed of a lot of the stuff that's going on. But even with that, when Brian came in, there was some stuff in the bill that I wasn't aware of. Just some wording that's in there that it makes it really, really gray. And
I'm going to rely on you for your analysis of that, because not only will I admit to it, I will not be reading it. I like to be as informed as my viewers, and I will not be reading the language, nor do I think anyone else will, except for exceptions like yourself. And I do think there's a feeling in folks' guts that they're pro-life, generally.
Right.
But they're like, this is a little much.
Most everybody goes with those three exceptions that said, you know, the life of the mother, rape, incest. Those are three things that you hear across the board. And even Trump talks about it. I mean, it was kind of funny that Melania has come out and said, I'm pro-choice, which has been interesting in the interviews that she's been doing, and her talking about, I don't want the government telling me what to do with my body.
How many households do you think there are in the Senate 15, which is Chesterfield, Town and Country, Wildwood, who have a pro-choice and a pro-life person in that family?
I agree.
I bet you there's, and the issue is, if you're pro-choice, you're definitely voting for Amendment 3. The thing I think the problem is there's a lot of folks that want to be, that are pro-life. They consider themselves pro-life.
They do.
They vote for pro-life candidates, and one of the reasons they vote for a candidate is they are pro-life. I think they feel like maybe this is a little much. And also, let's be honest, the pro-life camp has spent the last year in court, in the legislature, arguing, wanting to not have this vote. They have not spent this last year out communicating and sharing. What convinced me to be pro-life was the absolutely positive message of being pro-life. There's a lot of positive messages to be pro-life. You don't have to scare people.
Right.
I'm pro-life, not because I'm afraid of the pro-choice stuff. I'm pro-life because I think it's a positive thing to bring a life into this world. But the last year they've spent in court and the legislature doing everything they could do to avoid having this election. And I think they might have been better off spending that time talking to the people of Missouri, talking to people in Chesterfield, trying to assuage their concerns, maybe offering a compromise that would have trumped this one. I think if you took Donald Trump's abortion policy, I hate to say this, and pro-choice people won't like it, but I think it's probably where most of Missourians are.
I think it's probably where most of Americans are.
Yeah,
when you look at that, because they want some sort of exception in there, but they don't want what Amendment 3 is. But I don't think they're going to know that until after they vote for it. Can you hang out for a little bit?
Sure, you bet.
So we're talking with Scott Fahn, who is the publisher of Missouri Times. You probably see him every week. He's the host of This Week in Missouri Politics, which is the number one show that you're going to find out of what's going on in state politics. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Addie Fry. We'll continue to talk with Scott on the other side on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.